Thank you for joining us for today's call. Before I turn the call over to the company, we need to advise you of the following. Comments made on today's call may contain forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. These forward-looking statements are based on current assumptions and opinions and involve a variety of known and unknown risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially from those contained in or suggested by such forward-looking statements. Important factors that might cause such differences include those set forth from time to time in the company's SEC filings, including the company's report on Form 10-K for the year ended December 31, 2016, and other current and periodic reports the company files with the SEC. At this time, I'd like to introduce Andrew Perlman, the Chief Executive Officer of Form Holdings.
Good afternoon, and thank you all for taking the time to join us for Investor Update and Earnings Call. I would like to update our shareholders on our first quarter 2017 results and review some of the near-term growth opportunities we see in our business segments that should drive revenues and result in enhanced profitability. Joining me today on the call are members of Form Holdings, Express Spa, and Group Mobile Management. We have Anastasia Nierkovskaya, Form Holdings Chief Financial Officer, Ed Jankowski, Form Senior Vice President and Express Spa's Chief Executive Officer, and Darren White, Form Vice President and President of Group Mobile. To begin, let me say I appreciate the feedback and support of our shareholders that we've received. We made several important transformative strategic changes in the last year that established our presence in the travel, health, and wellness industries and redefined our presence in the technology industry. Today, Form has two key revenue drivers, Express Spa, which was acquired in December 2016 and is the leading airport spa company in the world, and Group Mobile, which we've evolved into a rugged computing, full-service, integrated solutions provider poised for self-sustaining growth. Since executing on these acquisitions, we've been in a period of transition as we have refined our go-forward model, reviewed associated cost structures, and approached completion of our strategic shift towards two key operating segments, wellness and technology. We continue to anticipate that Form will generate over $70 million of consolidated revenue this year, 2017, and I'm proud that we've achieved $14.7 million of revenue in the first quarter. When we acquired Express Spa, we bought a market leader, but being able to acquire a company that defined the category meant that we were also buying a company that came with a variety of challenges and opportunities. For instance, when we acquired Express Spa, the company had lackluster morale, four active litigations, and a labor dispute. By the end of the first quarter, we've made tremendous strides in improving recruiting and retention. All of the inbound litigation and the resolution of a union arbitration that we inherited at Express Spa has been resolved, and we are showing strong growth in comp and total store sales. Our technology segment is now comprised of our primary asset, Group Mobile, and our developmental asset, Flycharge. As you've mentioned, our goal is to pare back expenses related to businesses that aren't generating sufficient returns above our cost of capital. Our third and final operating segment is intellectual property, which houses our remaining IP assets. While we've already made significant progress towards our goals of extracting expense synergies in the first quarter, much of this work was completed subsequent to the quarter end, and we expect by the end of the second quarter, we will have completed the right sizing of the business's cost structure and refined our capital allocation framework for future investments to ensure that we are achieving the best possible returns on our capital for shareholders. I look forward to sharing the details of our company's evolution with you going forward. With that, I'd like to dive into our segments and provide some updates on financial performance as well as our strategic outlook for each, starting with wellness. Express Spa will be the platform by which the company will accelerate its growth in the travel, health, and wellness industries. Express Spa provides air travelers with premium health and wellness services as well as a branded line of exclusive luxury travel products and accessories at its 53 locations across 22 major airports in the United States, Holland, and the United Arab Emirates as of the first quarter end. counter to the instability of traditional retail, which has been exacerbated by shifting shopping preferences and the proliferation of e-commerce offerings, the airport retail market continues to grow due to an increased travel security and screening requirements that are creating a captive environment within airport terminals globally. In response to these changes, airport consumers are demanding greater access to innovative and upscale retail, food, and services options. In fact, the North American airport retail market is on pace to grow at a 19% compound annual growth rate to $9.9 billion annually in 2020, according to New Market Research and Micro Market Monitor. ExpressPA's flexible operating model with compelling store economics is a perfect partner for airport operators looking to stay on trend with the powerful health and wellness movement. Within airport retail, ExpressPA is the market leader in its category, with 49 locations domestically as of the first quarter, a number we believe we can grow to over 100 locations over the course of the next 3 years, through increased penetration of existing airports, deployment of mobile kiosks, and expansion into airports not presently served by ExpressPA. I want to reiterate that we believe that ExpressPA's unit opportunity can exceed 250 spas over the long term, of which 150 will be domestic and 100 international. Opening spas in new airports not presently served by ExpressPA is one of the key elements to our growth strategy. We think that our success in executing these openings speaks to the value the airport authorities see in our superior luxury spa offering, which is complementary to their strategy of enhancing retail and service offerings. A great example of this is our first location in Phoenix's Sky Harbor International Airport, which opened just last week, and a second location that's currently under construction and slated to open later this quarter. Our entry into Phoenix puts ExpressPA in 13 of the top 15 airports in the United States, further solidifying our dominant market position. Phoenix Sky Harbor is among the 11 busiest airports in the United States and top 30 worldwide, serving well in excess of 40 million passengers per year. The airport recently completed a significant renovation to Terminal 4, its largest, as it better positions its services and amenities for its growing passenger volumes. ExpressPA's location is ideally located near the hub of Terminal 4, next to Gate D2, adjacent to a host of other retail and food offerings, positioning ExpressPA to maximize customer impressions and further raise the profile of the ExpressPA brand. We continue to expect 5 new locations to open in 2017. In the first quarter, we added one location. In the second quarter, we will be adding the 2 Phoenix locations, and our remaining 2 locations are scheduled to open this fall, one of which will be an additional location in New York's JFK International Airport, and the other is the opening of our first inline spa location in Charlotte's Douglas Airport, which complements an existing kiosk location already in service. In addition to these scheduled openings, we see additional opportunities at several other potential locations outside the RFP process that we may be able to act on before the year end. Driving higher spa density at key airports is the second key component to our growth strategy. JFK is an outstanding example of the density we can achieve within airports. In fact, once the additional JFK build-out is complete, we'll have 9 spas operating within JFK, which speaks to the unique dynamic of consistent demand in the airport environment. Counter to prevailing trends across the retail landscape that can be characterized by excessive square footage and lower per square foot productivity, the captive environment within the airport and the consistent turnover of foot traffic affords retail and service providers a unique set of circumstances to thrive. Take JFK, for example. 5 of our 8 spas are within Terminal 4 alone. Despite the addition of the 5th location, 4 other spas continue to generate positive comparable store sales. We think that there's power in creating more brand visibility, which is allowing ExpressPA to be more approachable to new customers and more convenient for our existing patrons. Notably, the company has traditionally never participated in traditional advertising and promotional campaigns, which gives us confidence that ExpressPA is genuinely aligned with consumer trends. This also speaks to the exciting opportunity we have with customer identification and targeted marketing when our new technology platform is implemented later this year. Next, I'd like to speak to our store-level economics and some of the strategic initiatives we have in place to drive efficiencies and support long-term comparable store sales growth. Express Buy units have strong store-level economics with modest CapEx requirements that deliver strong cash-on-cash returns. Further demonstrating the uniqueness of the captive airport retail environment, our spas ramp quickly and are performing near our chain average by the end of their first year in operation. This dynamic allows us to generate impressive cash-on-cash returns that will allow for a full payback in 2 to 2.5 years with typical lease terms of 7 years. Moving forward, we expect the build-out of new spa locations to cost less than $500,000 per spa and produce in excess of $1 million in revenue with a store-level contribution margin of 20%. We are comfortable that we will maintain and improve upon this store-level profitability over time as we continue to refine our operating model and implement initiatives that will not only drive margins but improve sales. We have a tremendous opportunity to improve the operational aspects of the business. As part of our ongoing process of refinement, ExpressBuy's leadership team has been utilizing a regimented framework to measure each individual unit to ensure that it is positioned to maximize returns on capital. The analysis identified 2 units that were anomalies within our system that we've been classifying as kiosks. These units were located within an airline employee lounge and was the result of a test performed by the previous management team. Their performance was not meeting our criteria, and as a result, those 2 units have been closed following the end of the quarter. Another example of our leadership team's initiative in ferreting out areas for cost savings is the procurement of our ExpressBuy branded merchandise. In May, we signed an exclusive partnership with Capelli New York, global designers and manufacturers of on-trend private label and branded products to co-produce and sell ExpressBuy's line of branded travel and spa products and accessories, which include neck pillows, blankets, massagers, and masks, among others. ExpressBuy elected to partner with Capelli to enhance its product offerings and distribution while also lowering fixed operating costs that will effectively broaden overall gross margins. Additionally, Capelli recognized the value of the ExpressBuy brand and will develop an expanded collection of ExpressBuy branded products to be sold through their premium retail distribution network via a licensing agreement. Capelli has developed similar product line extensions for well-known brands such as CoverGirl, Badly Mischka, Head, Sandra Roberts, and the U.S. Army, among others, and we are thrilled for the ExpressBuy brand to reach beyond the airport retail environment. Management has also been instrumental in effecting immediate change in labor management. Our employees drive our business and are our most important asset. When we cannot provide the services that people demand, then we cannot drive revenue. To provide some further context on our labor opportunity, ExpressBuy offers a product where demand outstrips supply. By simply executing on our workforce expansion initiatives of improving recruitment and retention of employees, the company should be able to better address this demand, improve customer service, and ultimately allow us to drive revenue growth. There is also significant opportunity for ExpressBot to improve our pricing strategies through optimization and price elasticity analyses, which will ensure that we are maximizing returns on investment at each individual location. While there's still much to do, the proactive efforts the leadership team has made to improve our corporate culture and communicate the value we place on our workforce has helped us drive same-store sales. To date, the growth in the number of services we are able to provide is solely driven by recruiting and retention. A great example of what's possible is our location in Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport. We made a concerted effort to build out the team at this store at the beginning of the year, ultimately hiring 10 personnel to date. These employees were instrumental in driving an acceleration in comparable store sales from modestly positive in January to north of 30% in April. I'm proud to say all 10 remain with us today and give our operating team an ideal case study to try and replicate across our network. One of the initiatives that we are developing is a new store prototype that is designed to provide consumers with a more approachable and inviting format while communicating our complete line of services. We opened the first of these prototypes in Philadelphia International Airport in February, and we are very encouraged by the initial response. The new store layouts provide an increased emphasis on nail care by providing a dedicated service area with clean and attractive workstations that immediately communicate our offering to potential customers. The initial enhancements in productivity we are seeing are extremely encouraging, and we look forward to sharing updates in the future. Management recognizes the power of technology in today's interconnected marketplace and has commenced upgrades to both its legacy IT infrastructure and point-of-sale systems, which will roll out in the fourth quarter of 2017. These systems will enable management to better understand the demands on each spa, pricing opportunities, and optimize labor needs in conjunction with employments, so we can bring a level of consistency to our customers and allow us to execute on our promise of timeliness, which is central to our efforts to put the Express back in Express Spa. These systems will also allow a more complete solution for the company's traveling customers, remitting reservations and opening up targeted digital marketing to approximately 150,000 affinity members already in our system. Shifting towards the segment-level financials, for the first quarter 2017, we generated revenues of $11 million, which represents an increase of 18.3% versus the prior year period. As a reminder, the Easter holiday shifted out of first quarter and into second quarter this year, which we estimate impacted first quarter revenues by approximately $500,000. First quarter comparable store sales were up 7.2%, negatively impacted by the aforementioned Easter shift, as well as the major snowstorm in the Northeast in March. April has returned to normalized levels, and we are reiterating our forecast, calling for annual comparable store sales increases of approximately 10% for the full year 2017 and $50 million of revenue. As a reminder, our historical seasonal cadence suggests that approximately 21% of revenues are realized in the first quarter. We generated a gross profit of approximately $2.2 million, representing 20% of sales, which includes our store labor as a component of cost of sales. Our operating loss for the first quarter was $2.4 million. This includes $1.1 million of non-cash depreciation related to leasehold improvements, an additional $600,000 of amortization associated with intangible assets such as our brand and customer relationships, and $500,000 of merger, acquisition, and integration costs. Subtracting these expenses, our operating loss was $172,000. As I've alluded to, we incurred a heightened level of expenses in the first quarter, most notably with respect to the merger, acquisition, and integration costs, and our expectation is for this to moderate significantly in the second quarter of 2017 and demonstrate our progress towards achieving segment-level profitability. Now I'd like to transition and speak about our technology segment. As a reminder, our new reporting segment includes our primary growth asset, Group Mobile, as well as our developmental asset, FlyCharge. To summarize, our financial results for the technology segment on a go-forward basis will largely reflect the performance of Group Mobile. However, in the short term, the operating expenses will appear disproportionately high as we continue our efforts to pare back expenses and determine alternative paths for the FlyCharge business. We expect this work to be completed by the end of the second quarter. For the first quarter 2017, our technology segment generated $3.5 million of revenue, which was consistent with our expectations and represents an increase of 174% versus the prior year period. Booking and customer commitments for the first quarter were $4.1 million, representing an increase of 97%, and demonstrates the traction that our fully integrated solutions platform is having with our customers. Gross profit was $600,000, representing 16% of sales, an increase of 300 basis points versus the prior year period's margin of 13%, and was the result of our services business driving an improved margin mix. Operating loss in the technology segment was $1.5 million compared to a loss of $1.1 million in the prior year quarter. The increase in operating loss was primarily attributable to development activities for FlyCharge and expansion of the workforce at Group Mobile. we remain confident in our initial 2017 projection, Root Mobile to generate in excess of $20 million in revenue. We anticipate significant sequential revenue growth in the second quarter, which is consistent with past seasonality in the business. However, given the pace of the company's growth and our robust pipeline, we expect some lumpiness as we close on some larger contracts. From a margin perspective, the added services component to Group Mobile's business is already visible in its gross margins, which are well above industry norms for resellers in the low double digits. We expect that as Group Mobile expands its mix of service solutions over time, the company should enjoy further gross margin expansion. Its improved gross margin profile, combined with expected revenue growth, puts it on a path to achieve segment-level profitability in the full year 2017. From a strategic standpoint, we are continuing to pursue alternative paths for FlyCharge that maximize value for our shareholders while being cognizant of the ongoing costs associated with supporting its growth initiatives. As such, following the end of the first quarter, we've realigned the business's operating structure, which will curtail Forum's future capital requirements so we can deploy our capital in a fashion that maximizes return on investment. Group Mobile's leadership is poised to further penetrate its markets following the recent addition of Excalibur Integrated Systems, which brought an important and complementary services business. The broader business is only just beginning to realize the benefits of its expanded service capabilities, and the team is actively building these into Group Mobile's legacy business, with a keen focus on creating enhanced value for its customers through bundling techniques. This solidifies Group Mobile's evolution from a reseller to a full-service integrated solutions provider and is expected to better align the company with its customers going forward, while adding a higher growth mix of higher-margin business to drive profitability. Commensurate with its comprehensive platform, the company has been busy putting agreements and partnerships in place. Just last week, we announced that Group Mobile was awarded a sales and services contract to outfit the Florida Marine Law Enforcement Agency with GTAC rugged PC devices. Subsequent to the quarter end, we also received orders from large repeat customers such as VT Systems, Molly Corporation, Nissan, and Shaw, a division of Berkshire Hathaway. Group Mobile also finalized a partner supplier agreement with Hewlett-Packard, which will allow Group Mobile to begin offering its value-added services to HP customers globally. Additionally, the team has finalized a strategic relationship with DT Research, one of the leading OEM manufacturers of rugged tablets in the industry. Finally, the team has responded to emerging trends with its enterprise customers and started testing a technology-as-a-service model. Similar to software as a service, the recurring nature of these hardware licensing agreements are attractive and further supports our goal to improve our product and service offering to our customer, which will ultimately translate to margin enhancements through a more attractive mix of revenue streams. While this program is still in its infancy, it is a sign of our team's innovative mindset that we are excited about and hope will continue to develop into a scalable business. Forum's capital structure remains sound, with its current assets of $17.7 million, a cash balance of $11.7 million, a net operating loss carryforward of $139 million, and $6.5 million of long-term debt as of March 31, 2017. This month, we agreed to extend the term of our note by an additional year to 2019. This extension was provided with no exchange of consideration and is a favorable transaction that supports our balance sheet. Total cash used by operating activities for the first quarter was $4.9 million, compared to the comparable prior year's use of cash of $5.4 million. Management has a heightened focus on curtailing expenses wherever necessary, but this transitionary integration process affected the first quarter significantly. Related to the first quarter, there were several temporary outsized uses of cash that aggregate in the amount of $2.8 million compared to total cash used in the first quarter of $6.2 million. Our wellness segment accounted for the vast majority with $2.4 million of this amount and includes acquisition and integration-related professional service fees of $800,000, leases and tax-related matters of $500,000, severance of $100,000, CapEx of $900,000, and interest paid of $150,000. Within our technology segment, we repaid a line of credit related to our acquisition of Excalibur in the amount of $400,000. During the second quarter, we anticipate some of these excess expenditures to continue, but at a moderating pace, and estimate less than $1 million of incremental excess spend related to the completion of several initiatives. Consistent with my initial remarks, all outstanding litigation that we inherited at ExpressBot has been resolved. And by the end of the second quarter, we will have right-sized each business unit's respective cost structure and refined our capital allocation framework for future investments to ensure that we are achieving the best possible returns on capital for our shareholders. We expect to realize improved cash flow in the second half of 2017 due to these changes and begin enjoying the resultant leverage of our fixed cost base as revenues grow, providing the foundation for expanding operating margin and ultimately consolidated profitability as we realize scale. In closing, I would like to reiterate how excited we are about our operating businesses. ExpressBot takes us to the epicenter of the fast-growing travel, health, and wellness industry with a highly productive store model. Root Mobile has made significant improvements that are driving growth and enhancing profitability. These two core businesses are expected to generate in excess of $70 million of revenue in 2017. With the majority of our restructuring efforts nearly complete, our immediate focus is building these core businesses while seeking strategic alternatives for firms remaining non-core assets. We see an immediate opportunity to leverage our platform, begin realizing synergies, and drive our culture of operational excellence. We look forward to updating firm shareholders on our pursuit to enhance shareholder value. Operator, you can now open up the call for Q&A.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you have a question, you may press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time, or you may submit your questions via the web by clicking on the Ask Question button under the presentation. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad or submit your questions via the web by clicking on the Ask Question button under the presentation. Please hold while we pull for questions. Okay, and our first question comes from Mark Robbins. You may now state your question, Mark.
Hi, Andrew. I noticed in your presentation you talked a bit about the good store unit economics at a lot of the new stores, and I noticed you also mentioned opening a new location in Phoenix. I just wanted to get a feel for what sort of performance you're seeing there, and let's go with that.
Sure. Thanks for the question. As I mentioned earlier, the new location in Phoenix is in one of the busiest airports in America and actually, in fact, the world. We actually included in the press release that we issued around opening the store in Phoenix some images of the store, and it's a beautiful store. But I think one of the things that, again, differentiates what happens in the airport and with services from outside of the airport is because we have fixed traffic, our stores ramp up very quickly, and in fact, we actually opened the store in Phoenix fully staffed, and so it actually is performing almost in line with what we would expect from a mature store in just the first week of operation. So we're very excited about the early performance. I think it's too early to state numbers. It's only been open for a few days, but again, we're seeing performance out of the new stores that is almost exactly at the level of that of a mature store, and in some cases because the layouts are actually even better in the new stores beyond what we would expect out of the base of the new stores.
I can also add that we opened up a kiosk in Charlotte in December of last year, and we were asked by the airport why we're under construction for the inline, which will open up in the third quarter. We were asked to come up with a kiosk concept, which we did very inexpensively. It was about $125,000. And it was literally just to get our foot in the door in Charlotte. And year-to-date, that kiosk is performing at about, should annualize at about $1 million, which really pleasantly surprised us and also gave us hope for the kiosk moving forward in other locations.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Jason Richmond. You may now state your question, Jason.
Hi, good afternoon. You referenced, I believe, some additional stores outside of the RFP process. Can you please elaborate on that?
One of the things that we did to reinvigorate ExpressBot 2.0, or really to introduce ExpressBot 2.0, is we participated in the annual ARN, Airport Revenue News Convention, which was in New Orleans in March. And as a result of that, we had a number of airports that were so excited about our new concept, including the nail tables, and incredibly excited about our temp locations and our kiosk locations, that they immediately met with us to talk about opportunities that we might have in opening up either temp stores, pop-up stores, or kiosks in current locations that are vacant for them. So, for instance, the month of April, we followed up by flying around and meeting with all these airports and identifying spaces that we could open up in the third or fourth quarter that would not require the RFP process. So, for example, there are two locations in LAX that we are negotiating to open up temp locations before the end of the year. And then also in Las Vegas, there's one location up here in a temp location. They want us to do a permanent location there. And then they also offered up another temp location. Pittsburgh offered up an additional kiosk, an additional to the spa we have there. And in Philadelphia, we may have the opportunity to open up a kiosk in Philadelphia also. So that's what we were speaking of when we talked about additional locations that don't require the RFP process.
I see. So if it's a temp location, how does that work with respect to lease terms, and can they turn into permanent locations? How does that work?
So in many cases, the airports come to us about a temporary location, and frequently it can turn into a permanent location if the temporary location is performing well. I would also note separately what Ed was highlighting before, is that a lot of what we're moving to and a lot of the interest is around kiosks, which is a much more flexible operating model and actually has a better cash-on-cash return even than our inline stores, which are already excellent.
I see. Interesting. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we do have a question from the web. When do you expect to turn into profits-making entity at the whole company level?
Sure. So we actually have not given public guidance as to when we will turn to profitability. What we have said publicly is that we expect, certainly at the segment level, that we will turn EBITDA positive within 2017.
Okay, thank you. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad or submit your questions via the web. Our next question comes from Josh Katif. You may now state your question, Josh.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I'm trying to square the 25 RFPs in the next 12 months, of which you guys expect to win 80%, with the 5 store openings this year and with the current capital state of the company. I know you guys said you expect to have enough cash for the next 12 to 18 months. I'm just trying to figure out if you're going to win 20 new stores in the next 12 months that each cost $500,000, how they'll be funded, basically.
Yeah, sure. So the RFP process actually deals with stores that will open well in the future. So if you talk about the 5 locations that were won through the RFP process that are opening this year, many of those were won in excess of 12 or even in some cases 18 months ago. So as we look forward right now, we're really focused on improving the operations of the business, and our expectation is that the CapEx associated with those RFPs will come well into 2018 and in some cases 2019.
And do you expect people to fund that internally, generically, cash flow from the business?
That would be a goal, but again, our focus right now is improving the operations of the business, and we would expect that CapEx 12, 18 months out.
Thank you. One more for you. When it comes to one-time costs, we've seen it several quarters in a row, obviously. In Q4 2016, it was the merger closing costs. In Q1 2017, it's the merger integration costs. It sounds like from your prepared remarks that there's going to be one more quarter, Q2 2016, of with some one-time costs in it. Is that accurate?
Sure, yeah. And I would actually go a step further. So two things of note. One, in the 10-Q, we actually provided segment-level reporting on the P&L, and we also actually – provided a table that includes what many of the one-time costs that occurred outside of the norm. So the goal really was to provide transparency, because I think that is absolutely an appropriate question. And the second thing which I mentioned on the as part of my remarks before is that we would expect about $1 million of additional costs that are falling in the second quarter that are related to one-time expenses, and then we're through it.
Okay. All right, great. The queue is it actually just hit the SEC.gov just now, so I haven't had a chance to look at it, but thank you.
Thank you, and there appear to be no further questions at this time. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect your lines at this time, and have a great day.